accusations about serial killers. Well, maybe Grace can get a new tattoo now. She should get the Green River guy put on one of her, like, her left thigh or something. She's still got some room that's not covered with creepy, freaky tattoos. And that guy looks just like a serial killer, too. That Green River guy. I mean, if you were to get a lineup of people that were going to take you and cut your head off, put you in a ditch somewhere, that guy looks exactly like that. He looks kind of like...
Hold on a second.
Yeah?
And now, live from Portland,
kind of jumped the gun
Rick
there a little
Emerson.
Bit.
Sorry.
He's back. Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
I'm terribly embarrassing. Sorry about that.
All right, you can go now.
I'm just saying. Nah, I've lost it now. I've lost the energy. I was going to say, though, the Green River guy, what's his name? Myron something or other?
Gary Ridgway.
Yeah, Gary Ridgway. Leon Ridgway.
That's not a serial killer. Well, as long as they're using all three names. Because serial killers always got the full three, like Henry Lee Lucas, John Wayne Gacy. So Gary Lee Ridgway, he kind of looks like Ned Flanders, too, which is the sort of unnerving thing about it. But he's got the mustache. That's what always gives it away with the serial killing guys. They've always got that weird push broom mustache. Because you know what that mustache means? When you see a guy that has that mustache, it's mommy issues. That's what that mustache means.
Is that true?
It's completely true. It's like you see a guy that's got that big, huge... That's a guy who's compensating. I'm not saying just having a mustache means you're compensating, but there's a certain... You know what I'm talking about, too. There's a certain type of mustache you see on a guy. That's a guy, he's compensating for too much mom or too little, Johnson. It's one or the other. Not always, but I mean, there's a certain type of mustache that indicates.
It's a molestache.
It's a molestache. Did you just come up with that?
No. That's what we always refer to creepy looking mustaches as.
Who's we?
Like my friends.
In the secret girls club?
Yes.
The molestache.
Like he has a molestache. He's very unattractive.
Okay. I can't top that. It's 4 minutes, 38 seconds after the hour 12, and this is the month of November, the year of our Lord, 2003. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from the studios of Hot Talk and Eddie KOTK, beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. We're here with F. Matt Peterson, Sarah Dillon, Tim Riley, and the KOTK Newsroom. It's hot in here again today. It is hotter than hell in this room.
I know.
Not that you all care over there in that room, because you got your own separate thermostat. All right, anyway.
It's a lovely, solid temperature over here.
Yeah, it's downright the... It's impressively hot in here. I'll go fix that later. Coming up this hour, CNN radio correspondent John Bisney is going to be with us. We're going to talk about, so I'll say it together and be embarrassed at once, rocking the vote. Yes. Yes, the Rock the Vote campaign. Although there was some good, was it Boston? There were some good moments in that debate.
Yeah, we got some.
All right, we're going to talk about the debate that happened yesterday, Democratic debate that happened in Boston. Dean throwing out like some full-on good punches there. Some good Sharpton moments, too. We'll get to that. We got today's top five songs from this week in 1992. And we got another edition of How Chicks Think with Jolie from the front desk. It's all coming up 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. We're moments away from Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom at Top Talk 1080 KOTK.
Yo, it's time for Rick Emerson, it must be new. How did 21 hours tick away so soon? Turn off the TV, hands off my radio, damn it. I gotta hear Rick's thesis on what's wrong with the planet. I'm stuck on I-5, and better get used to chilling. Cause it's all backed up, I got the traffic in Sarah Dillon. I'm mad about the traffic, and just because of that, I'ma call up the show and sponsor an F-Mat. Clyde Lewis is the man, and don't forget that. I don't know what he does, but his name sounds fat. Jolie from the front desk is unstoppable. Find out how chicks think, yo, that's impossible. I better come up with a gig like a threesome I never did. Then Rick will get my song and play it for all the kids. But if not, you never know that this record was ever made. He's the radio gangster and he's got to get paid. Cause he's the radio gangster.
Yeah.
And he's not having it. The radio gangster.
Yeah.
And he's not having it. The radio gangster.
Yeah.
Not having the radio. Gangsta.
Yeah.
Not having.
And now, it's not just news. It's news with Tim Riley. Live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Gary
Jerry Ridgway pleading guilty in Seattle to 48 murders in the Green River killings. He was calm and businesslike. The courtroom, full of many relatives of the victim, some in tears at times. The prosecutor reads a statement from Ridgway.
I picked prostitutes because I thought I could kill as many of them as I wanted without getting caught. Is that true?
Yes.
The serial killer placed the dead bodies in clusters to keep better track of them.
Times I killed and dumped a woman intending to start a new cluster and never returned because I thought I might get caught putting more women there. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah, and this guy, he's just a little wormy little bastard, too, if you see him. He's exactly, that's what I mean. And it's very telling about these serial killer guys. I'm not a trained sociologist or anything. But these guys, it's always exactly the same. It's always some guy, you know, it's always like some little Harvey Pekar guy. It's got a job pushing a broom somewhere, or he's like filing a bunch of things in a cabinet downtown at the Public Works Department. And then on the weekend he goes out and he picks up hookers and cuts off their heads because, you know, it makes him, I don't know, because it makes up for the fact that his mom used to make him sleep on plastic sheets for wetting the bed or something. They're all exactly the same, you know, unless you're doing it in a clown suit. It's so hard to stand out as a serial killer these days because all the niches have really been taken. You know, there's, Cannibal's been done, and the woman suit's been done, clown, that's been done. Richard Ramirez, he kind of did the Satan thing. I mean, there's really, Ted Bundy had the clean-cut guy next door. I mean, there's kind of really nothing left. I mean, this is not an encouragement, by the way, for you to find something that, never mind, here's Tim.
Find a new niche.
No, I'm not saying to do that. I'm just saying that I'm saying serial killers all do that. They all do it because they want, not all of them, I think most of them do it because they want notoriety of some kind. That's why so many of them are just obsessed with, it's like, what's his name? Malvo and Muhammad. Which sounds like some sort of
buddy show,
like a comedy team in Iran or something. Come see wacky hijinks, Malvo and Muhammad tonight. They leave these notes with the police because they all want attention paid to them. It's like that guy. Do you remember? Let's talk for a second about my favorite serial criminal, who isn't really well known, who kind of went underneath the radar because I'm not sure that he actually killed anybody. Do you guys, am I making this up? Did I dream this or did this really happen? Was there a guy about a year ago? See, it's one of those things where it's like, because I just have so few brain cells left at this point in my life, I can't really tell if it's something that actually happened or if it's something that came to me in a dream that I'm thinking should happen. Was there a guy about a year ago doing pipe bombings who was trying to make a gigantic happy face on the map? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that was in the Midwest.
Yeah.
That's great, man.
They were in mailboxes.
Yeah, but he didn't kill anybody, right? It was just a little, some woundings. And
yeah, I don't
he
think...
He maimed a few people.
He maiming, sure.
Fingers and arms and whatever.
Yeah, you know, you lose a hand. But I mean, he didn't kill anybody. But I mean, see, that's creativity.
Seems like it was like Midwest and maybe even down into Texas
and
or
they,
something.
I mean,
where
and
they
that's
were.
One of those things that if you saw that in a... Like, if you saw that on CSI Miami, you would totally just roll your eyes and think it was a bunch of crap. But if, you know, I wish I could have been in the room when they figured out what that guy was doing because that's how they caught him. Because this guy's setting up all these pipe bombs and they can't figure out who it is. And so they project a big map up on the wall and they're like, okay, it started here and then went over here and then here and then here. And then it's like a happy face. The guy is pipe bombing in the shape of a happy face on an American map. That is great. I'm not advocating that you go pipe bomb things. There's easier ways to do it. I'm just saying that shows a little style, little creativity, little something there going on with the, you know, little bit of a right brain thing going on there. You know, some guy just goes and, you know, this guy's just dull and uninteresting.
I don't know. Let's get more grisly details of what he did.
And I do not have a good memory for their faces. I killed so many women, I have a hard time keeping them straight. Is that true?
Yes, it is.
That's right.
And then there's a local tale of terror.
With premeditated intent to cause her death, I strangled Denise D. Bush to death. I picked her up, planning to kill her. After killing her, I left her body just off a dirt road in the neighborhood of Riverton. I later transported some of her remains to a place just off the Bull Mountain Road near Tigard, Oregon. I left the remains there with the remains of Shirley Sherrill. I did this in order to throw off police investigators so that I could continue killing prostitutes. Is that your statement?
Yes, it is.
Is it true?
Yes.
That's Dave Paul's old neighborhood.
And as he said, did we know where Dave Paul was on any of those nights? Did he say why he's doing any of this? Did he say why?
But he hates prostitutes.
He's just plain nuts.
Yeah.
All right. You know what this is? I'll guarantee you right now, some guy couldn't get it up. It's exactly where this always comes from, exactly the same place. Some guy pushes a broom as a janitor at a junior high somewhere. Got rejected by a girl at a bar, tried to pick up a hooker, was unable to achieve or sustain. And then just decides to, just tip over, So that's when all these guys are.
It's a cry for help.
Yeah.
He wasn't done with his handiwork yet, though.
Strangled Shirley M. Sherrill to death. I picked her up, planning to kill her. After killing her, I left her body off the Auburn Black Diamond Road. Later, I transported her remains to a place just off the Bull Mountain Road, near Tigard, Oregon. I left her remains there with the remains of Denise Bush. I did this in order to throw off police investigators so that I could continue killing prostitutes. Is that your statement?
Yes, it is.
Is it true?
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
That's that.
I don't even know how you keep track of all that without,
I get a whole list here.
No, I'm saying for him, though. I mean, he obviously isn't, the brightest guy on earth. I was telling Sarah about this, that I sort of assumed that they'd never catch him, because growing up, I think, when did he quit killing people? Was that recently? Okay, he quit killing people, in 1990 or something, didn't he? Hold on.
98.
I think it was
82 to 98.
The last...
He might have got cable that year.
They have a whole list here, and it says that the last one that they've got him killing is 1984. So, I mean, yeah, just growing up in Washington, it was one of those things that you always just sort of assumed would be unsolved. I don't even know how you'd get. I can't even find my car keys half the time. You know what I mean? Let's talk about this. Let's talk about hiding bodies. See these shoes I'm wearing here? I have some black socks. I couldn't even find the second black sock this morning. It's I almost had to go to Fred Meyer and buy a pair of black socks, much less keep track of, 40 women stashed in 90 different places. We got this Rick. Ridgway's coworkers thought him creepy for a long time before his crime was found out. Well, because we've all worked with a guy like that, Mark Marshall, that it wouldn't surprise you if you just went home and they were just Cub Scouts in little bitty cans in his garage, They referred to him as GR, which was an inside joke to them as Green River, but that he wouldn't get because those really were his initials. F. Matt with whatever they found inside the human skull dish on Ed Gein's kitchen table.
This F. Matt is brought to you by EditHere.com.
Well done. That's Bill, Northeast Portland.
All right. Well, suppose you could drive down the street and make every red traffic light turn green as you approach. In some areas, crews and emergency vehicles can already do that using an infrared device. Now, this receiver is mounted on a spotlight, and the controller placed on the vehicle changes the light. But now, it's falling into the wrong hands, it's getting cheaper, and now you can buy it. Yes, it's winding up the hands of ordinary motorists for about $300. The possibility they'll become widely used creates a nightmare scenario for public safety and transportation people alike. So far, law enforcement reports no problems with the device, so apparently they all work.
I love stuff like that. There used to be in Kennewick, there was this thing, because, they have a little sensor on top of the light, so when the ambulance is coming, the ambulance flashes a little light or an infrared beam or whatever, and it turns the light green. The word really spread among, this is when I was 17 or so, word kind of spread among the kids that if you flashed your high beams, it would totally turn the
in
light
Bremerton
green.
Too.
Was that the same
yep.
thing? Yeah. So it's I think big cities buy the high quality, infrared thing, but it's Kennewick and Bremerton just buy something for $3.99 at a Target to control that. So yeah, so it's foiled by height. It's like those those massive CD copying protection schemes that are, some guy with a green felt tip pen is foiling it with a 49-cent green ink around the edge or whatever. It's exactly what that is. So where do I buy one of these devices?
You buy them on eBay.
Sweet. All right.
So what was it? You flash your headlights and something happened?
In Kennewick, it might still even be the case. It's not like Kennewick is really up to date with technological advancements in this. I mean, they're too busy trying to keep plutonium out of the hands of school children.
Should be noted, Sarah's on her way to eBay now.
Really?
Yeah, I want to check that out.
I'm all for that stuff. No, I mean, I have no problem with that. I'm a big fan of screwing with the man. It's just proof of. I mean, I'm 30 years of age. I've been out of high school for over a decade. I've been an adult for over a decade. I mean, I am no longer a child or a youth in any sense of the word. I'm a young man only in the most liberal of the interpretations of that. I mean, I really am an adult in every conceivable way. But you can tell, not unlike whatever his name, Gary Ridgway, you can tell that I sit there and I dwell on past injustices, past things that I, you know, perceived slights. Because at the age of 30, what do I sit here and do every day? And I sit here and encourage 17-year-olds to drop out of high school and to, you know, try to buy things so I can go through red lights. I've just, you know, I'm just one of those guys. I would benefit so much from just like 5 or 6 serious like years on a couch somewhere, just dealing with my various issues with authority figures. Because if you gave me a thing, it's like that, you know, the other device I long for, something that just disables cell phones. You know, I just want a thing, carry it in my pocket, turn it on when I go into the movie theater, no cell phones within 500 yards work. And if you try to use your cell phone, it electrocutes you. If you try to use your cell phone, it puts voltage into your brain and you leave the theater a gibbering idiot. I would pay any price for such a device.
Well, for some Americans, being stuck in gridlock traffic is worse than a trip to the dentist. I don't know about that. According to a new survey by Yahoo Auto, 24% of Americans say they'd rather have a cavity filled than be stuck in gridlock traffic. That's not all.
It's because they don't go to your dentist.
I know, they don't go to my dentist.
Tim's dentist, where you go to Tim's dentist, and they, you know, has some dentists go, would you like the needle or would you like gas? And with a Tim's dentist, you either get a rag to chew on or you get like a Bufferin to take.
Or also say, I'm sorry, it's just late in the day, which makes you feel really good too. That's what the girl told me last time. She's trying to jam something in my mouth for a different procedure than what I was. I go, what do you, it's something for like dentures or something like that? You know, she's, I don't know what happened. I'm sorry, it's late in the day.
That's what you want to be. You want to be the person who gets the dentist when he's fatigued at the end of a long working shift. I'm sorry, where's the, I'm sorry, did I slip and hit a nerve there? I'm really, yeah. All right. Well, we'll come back. We'll talk about that gridlock article when we get back. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. More on the way. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 K2K.
Can't do any more of that cocaine. Well, she made me higher than all of those expensive things. But old Eden Denver, wish I could remember her name.
Rick Emerson, live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, so we got this here. Okay, so a guy sent this to me. Traffic light changer kit and accessory. And accessories. Very good. See, that's technology. That's putting technology to work for you. $109. Shipping included. So Rick Emerson,
is that a buy-it-now price, or is that the current bid?
No, that's it. Well, no, this isn't even from eBay. This is from some website. Some guy just sells them. So think to turn the traffic light green as you approach it. As you approach the traffic light.
You go with them words.
You can turn it green with the... Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing.
Turn it green in your machine.
You know what it is? Partially that I'm just stupid, but more than that... I don't want to get into a whole thing here, but you know, I have a very carefully calculated and regimented caffeine intake. My caffeine, and not to bore everybody, but you've heard me talk about this, but my caffeine today is people think that I'm just, you know, it's not like I'm just a coffee fiend where I'm putting it down constantly. I mean, I sort of am, but there is sort of a method to it. Like, I do drink a certain amount of coffee at certain times during the day. Because otherwise, you just end up being cranky. You know, and I'm kind of cranky enough under the best of circumstances. I don't need to augment that with any sort of chemical additions to my crankiness.
Yes, the point being, we're drinking Plaid Pantry Coffee.
Yeah, Plaid Pantry Coffee, which is, you know, it's okay. I'm not like some people. I'm not snobby about it. I'll drink me some gas station coffee. I'm not opposed to it in any way. But we have for the longest time, and I know that, like, compared to whatever your job is, these are not, you know, I know that your life is worse than this. I'm just saying. For the longest time, though, we've had one brand of coffee. We had a coffee pot here, and then they came, and they literally ripped it out of the wall. They came, and they ripped our coffee maker out of the wall.
Along with the filtered water.
Along with the filtered water. Now, see, now we sound like pussies. They took our filtered water away.
No, we need that, because the water that comes out of the faucet is yellow.
The water here's got, like, rocks in it. I mean, it's like you turn on the water, it's like sand coming out. I mean, you might as well just, it's like drinking a glass of metal shavings. So we not only do not have the water, so we don't have the coffee pot, so they ripped it out of the wall. So somebody brought a coffee pot from home, right? Just like the kind you just kind of have at my house. Somebody brought a coffee pot from home, except, you know what it is? It's like when you're a kid and they'd want canned goods for Christmas at school. And what would you always bring? You'd bring the cupboard, the crap in your cupboard you didn't want to eat. When your school was like, no, we're trying to get canned foods for the homeless. Please bring canned food from home. And you'd bring, like, cream squash. You know, you'd bring the worst things in your cupboard because it's stuff that you didn't want your mom to feed you, and so you'd take it and give it to homeless kids. You know, where are those, you know, where's the can of, like, rancid peas? I'll take that to school so mom won't feed it to me. That's what somebody's done with a coffee pot. They brought us a coffee pot that doesn't work.
I think it's a Mrs. Coffee.
Kristen and I tried three times. Jolie tried twice to brew coffee. But it's like the filter is either too strong or there's just something. And so it just overflows. And so you go in and it's like the La Brea tar pits in the kitchen. There's just black sludge all over the floor. So somebody took it home and Clyde himself brought in a different coffee pot, which also doesn't work. So the only conclusion I can come to here is that spirit, that gremlin demon thing that Clyde released, has actually just now infested all the mechanical devices of all types in the station. So now we're obliged to walk across the street to Plaid Pantry to get coffee. And the caffeine, you know, content, I think, is much lower. And so as a result, you hear me sitting here crying like a little baby over things that... Really, now that I'm done with the rant, seem kind of lame. Let's forget that I did this whole thing. Here's Tim Riley.
So let's get back to this traffic trivia. 30% of drivers, I guess those are people who drive cars like I used to, hate folks who yak on their cell phones even when they're behind the wheel. Agree or disagree?
Yes.
25% say tailgating is their biggest pet peeve.
Tailgating, man. Someday, this is a common lament of mine. Someday, I'm going to get a pair of secret headlights hidden on the built in the back of my car. And the next time somebody tailgates me, man, they're going to be blind. That's what I want. I want a pair of halogen high beams secreted in the rear grill, you know, like the back bumper of my car, hidden there behind some opaque panels. Next time somebody won't get off my ass on the road, and it's not like you don't know you're tailgating. I mean, I think we all know that if you are tailgating someone, you are well aware of it. And I'm not a guy that goes 30 miles under the speed limit, too. I go the speed limit or sometimes a little above, depending on circumstances. I'm never a guy that's just going really slow that you got to get around. You know, but it's like if you tailgate me, tailgating me is like the most counterproductive thing, because I'll just slow down. I mean, if you will not quit tailgating, I'll just stop. I mean, I've actually stopped at green lights before just because a guy's tailgating me. In fact, if you're tailgating me and you won't just go around, or if I'm going 5-10 miles over the speed limit already and you won't just be content with that, I've actually gone to green lights and just stopped, and I'll wait until the light turns red and I'll go right through, leaving you stuck there. But someday, man, I'm just getting full-on, like, lasers mounted in the back of my car. You tailgate me, you're going to lose your retinas.
I'm not going to say who this was, but I've got a friend... High school had a truck roll bar, you know, and had all the lights up on top of the roll bar.
Uh-huh.
And instead of using normal off-road lights, his father was a pilot, so he had access, and he got aircraft landing lights that he used to go forward for off-roading. He also had two of those going backwards that, on occasion, might have got flashed in someone's eyes if they were following his truck too closely.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, there's wanting to drive efficiently, and then there's just being an a-hole about it. Being an a-hole, you know, you get what's coming to you. I'm just saying. Not that I advocate breaking any sort of traffic regulations or posted laws. I'm just saying. All right, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, live from Capitol Hill, our good friend, CNN radio correspondent, John Bisney. How are you, my friend?
Oh, amen, Rick, amen. I agree with all your tactics.
You know, well, I mean, do you guys do the mass transit there, or do you drive?
Oh, I drive, and it's miserable.
Yeah, are people there, are they poor drivers?
Uh, arrogant, rude, type A, self-important drivers.
In Washington? You're kidding me. That's unbelievable. I almost, but you probably get a lot of, you get a lot of non-residents and foreigners and tourists and whatnot driving there too, because they're the worst.
Oh, they really are. They got the map open, you know, they're swerving all over the road. And you got the, it's something.
There's some guy from Fort Lauderdale with a camera around his neck and a bad Hawaiian shirt, you know, with the huge map blocking his view of the windshield while his wife yammers in his ear about how they missed the turn off to White Castle or something.
Not to mention this flotilla of huge tourist buses that just beleaguer us here.
Yeah, you know, I think that you ought to get, there ought to be some sort of a penalty system where, you know, you're allowed to engage in bad driving, you get two or three warnings, and then after that, people are just allowed to hit you with their own cars. People are just allowed to drive into you at that juncture, because you forfeited, because you're obviously just out there being an impediment, you know what I mean? There ought to be some sort of a cash system, like there ought to be the regular above-ground streets that we all get to use now, but then there ought to be like, I don't know, there ought to be like subterranean, out of repair tunnel streets that you have to use if you've thwarted enough people trying to get to work somewhere. Did you cover the? You didn't cover this Boston debate.
I did. I was there.
You did. You were. I don't know if it's not like fights broke out or anything, but I mean it was very there was a lot of stuff going on. I mean it was a very high energy, a lot of sparks flying, especially about Dean made these remarks, I guess, a while back about the Confederate flag, I might be misquoting this, where he said that the Democratic Party is going to have to start appealing to people, or, you know, trying to capture people who are driving pickup trucks with the American flag, or with the Confederate flag, right?
Yeah, that's essentially what he said. And he was in a Des Moines Register interview. And, you know, it's interesting because I think a lot of people in the media are reluctant to say that Dean is a, quote, front runner. And I mean, maybe that's right. He leads in some polls, doesn't in others.
But he obviously is.
But I'll tell you, these rivals of him sure think that he is. And that's why they lit into him on this flag issue last night.
And they all were sort of aligned on this because they kept trying to get him to apologize for the statement, right?
Yeah, and make him look bad, make him look like he'd made some sort of gaffe. But Howard Dean is also a very arrogant man, and he refused to back down and explained why he said what he did.
Yeah. And because his statement essentially was, you know, the Democratic Party has got to be, his thought, they've got to be more inclusive, and they've got to have, you know, the big phrase they use now is, you know, they've got to have the largest tent, the biggest tent possible to get people. And they all went after him, like, one by one, man. It was like a bad kung fu movie where they're, you know, one guy's attacking him and the other guys are all waiting in the wings for their shot afterward. And he just dispatched them one at a time. And I think it was Kerry that really, really, really tried to press him on this by saying, you know, were you wrong when you made that statement? And Dean flat out said, he said, I won't apologize for trying to appeal to poor white people.
Yeah, and that's right. He got it from that side, and then from Al Sharpton, who really was the first to pounce here and called his comment very repugnant and insulting to some people. But again, Dean, a very strong personality.
You know, and a strong personality, and not only that, I think it's the savvy thing to do, too, because as I think we saw in California last month, I really do believe that, and I've said for the longest time, that American politics are becoming, it's not really big news to anybody, more and more shrill, more divisive, and it's not even so much about sound bites anymore as it is about I think people are just looking more and more for someone who appears at least to sort of cut through clutter and prevarication, and to have some sort of finite, unequivocal message on something. They're looking for somebody to take a stand on things, even if it's a stand they don't necessarily agree with. And Bush seems to be doing that, and Dean seems to be doing it too. Well, you know, where at least he's staking out a position, so I think people are very, very refreshed by seeing someone who they at least kind of know where the guy stands on things.
No, you're absolutely right, and that's been one of Dean's central messages, that he can take, he wants the information, then he'll make a decision. He thinks there's too much dilly-dallying around in Washington, and it's a message that obviously has attracted a lot of attention.
If you had to place bets right now, would you say that he's going to be the nominee?
You know, boy, I'd be hard-pressed to say that, Rick. I still think that it could be a recipe for disaster. Now, it depends all on the economy in Iraq. But if the Democrats want to hedge their bets, I'm still thinking, believe it or not, I'm still thinking Dick Gephardt.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, he's more moderate, has, you know, I think wider appeal, and despite what Dean says, I don't think Dean's going to get many Southern white voters. I think Gephardt could.
I think my theory, and this is just my theory, on it would be, I think that Americans are still, I think we're still reeling a little bit, not only from 9/11, but I think that Americans found that Iraq was sort of less satisfying than they thought it was going to be, meaning that I think a lot of people felt like once we went and sort of asserted ourselves in Iraq, whether you agree with that or not, that we were going to feel confident as a country again, and we were going to feel like we were back on top of the horse. And I think that a lot of Americans are looking for someone, they're looking to feel strong again. And the economy, is still not very strong. A lot of people are still out of work. A lot of people feel like we still haven't regained our place in world stature. And the one thing that Dean comes across as constantly is strong. He comes across as a guy with real broad shoulders and a guy that has real, gravitas. And I think that appeals to American voters right now. So none of which, of course, is what we actually wanted to talk to you about. Did you cover this this rock the vote thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was the same event.
There were two different things. Was this debate part of the actual rock the vote tour? Are they doing the same thing they were in 92-96, where it's touring the country?
Well, yeah, they're trying to outreach all across the nation to try to light the fire under these younger voters who have really been pretty apathetic over the years. They're trying to register them, and then they'll try to get out the drive efforts on election day.
Does this actually work? Is there any evidence that the rock the vote thing actually succeeds in getting young people to vote?
I think marginally. The percentage of young people who want to be politically active probably already are active. And I saw a lot of that last night in Boston. Believe me, they were ginned up with the stickers and hats and T-shirts and the whole thing, and they found their candidate and their passion, and that's all well and good. But an awful lot of people, 18 to 25, maybe even up into their 30s, they've grown up under pretty pleasant, easy conditions, if you will, the go-go 90s, and they have really seen no reason to get involved politically. And it's a chicken and egg thing, Rick, because the candidates, if you ask them, say, well, why should we tailor our message to these people? They don't come out to vote.
Right.
So you hear them talk so much more about Social Security, prescription drugs.
It does seem to me that, and this is just my guess, I mean, unless young people have changed a whole lot since I was a slip of a youth, it seems like it probably suits, I would say, at least the very right-wing Republicans just fine not to have younger people voting in huge droves, because I think younger people tend to, is it incorrect to say that younger people just tend to vote Democratic when they vote?
I would have thought that too, but there was one survey out that says that, believe it or not, many of these people tend to be a little bit more conservative than their parents.
Yeah, I just don't understand this crazy world, John Bisney. It doesn't make any sense. All right. Here you go. The CNN radio correspondent, John Bisney, on Capitol Hill.
I just don't understand this.
Well, we have more discussion coming up on this anyway.
Officially turning into an old person over here.
I don't know if anyone else noticed this, but Carol Moseley Braun really has the hots with Howard Dean. She kept looking at him with a twinkle in his eye. Every time he spoke, she was just glued to him. She had this big grin on his face while he was standing up to what's his name.
She's also the only one that wouldn't answer the question about whether she'd smoked pot or not. Dean copped to smoking pot. Carrie, Dean copped to getting high in the past. Carrie copped to getting high in the past. Lieberman denied it and then apologized for saying he hadn't. Lieberman, like, in keeping with his, I mean, he's not even like a beta male, man. He's like an omega male. It just doesn't even, he's just the most spineless. He said no, and then he apologized for never having gotten high. So apparently he was afraid that the kids are going to look disfavorably on him for, eschewing the ganja in his past. So Lieberman said he hadn't. It was somebody. Oh, and Al Sharpton said he'd never gotten high.
Oh, we get some more.
We all believe that.
We get some more cool sound bites from Al Sharpton and John Kerry when we come back.
Look at his hair. His hair alone. All right. Well, whatever.
Got to be high every morning just to do it.
Seriously. I mean, come on. What are you trying to pull? All right. We got more on the way. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Talk to Nettie KTK. Back after this.
Why do everybody
from Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Coming up later, we got today's Top 5 and Jolie from the front desk. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
So getting back to rocking the vote, Al Sharpton is asked, what's the first thing he'd do if he woke up the first morning in the White House as president?
Well, I think the first thing going through my head would be to make sure that Bush has all of his stuff out. That we change the locks on the door so none of his crap can come back.
I think we should officially endorse Al Sharpton for president right now. I think the Rick Emerson Show officially cast its lot with one Al Sharpton for president of the United States.
And the strangest answer came from John Kerry when he was asked why he hunts.
Well, it's a tough economy now, and it's amazing what you have to go to put food on the table. I mean, now, look, I've been a hunter all my life, but I make a point of eating what I kill.
Okay.
And the best answer of all, the candidates are asked who they'd like to party with.
I hope my wife understands this. I'd like to party with the young lady who asked that question.
I hope mine understands it. I'd probably, the best person I've met to campaign to party with, Mrs. Kerry. I'm sorry.
Al Sharpton wins again.
I was going to choose Carol Moseley Braun, but now I'm going to have to choose you so I can keep an eye on my wife.
It's the best debate ever.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, you don't hear Republicans saying stuff like that. And I love the idea that Al Sharpton would take your woman as soon as your back is turned. That's another reason. See, the last time we had a guy in office who would take your woman, and you know, this country was going swimmingly. Things were going a lot better last time we had a player in chief. So I'm all for Al Sharpton. Yeah, that's me. I've made my decision. Doesn't matter if he runs or not at this point. I'm riding him in.
Well, Harry Letterman will never know his grandfather, but he does carry his name. David Letterman named his first child after his dad, who died at the age of 57. Letterman is 56. On his first day back on The Tonight Show since his girlfriend Regina Lasko gave birth to Harry, Letterman read the top five reasons why he's excited to be the father. Do we have to go through these?
I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't have done this, but the first thing I did after the baby was born, I took him home and dangled him over the balcony.
And how old is Letterman? 50 what?
56.
Yeah, that seems like a good idea. Letterman, especially because that guy lives, you know, he leads such a high-stress lifestyle. I mean, anybody who knows anything about Letterman knows that he's, you know, he's like, hadn't he already had, like, major heart surgery at least once? Didn't he have, like, a triple bypass?
Yeah, but they just went in and kind of cleaned everything out.
They cleaned everything out. Yeah, okay.
A little dustbuster.
Yeah, because he, I don't know, he went in to have his cholesterol checked, and it was, like, 6,000 or something. Like, he's, you know, they told him he was going to die in an hour if he didn't have an operation done. So he's had that. I mean, the guy, I mean, it's always been said for years that he drinks like a fish, and he smokes, and he, you know, has a high-risk profession, and he's, like, 56. And how old is the girlfriend?
I don't know how old she is.
Regina Lasko, does anybody know how old she is?
30s, probably.
Yeah, she's quite, like, 15, 20 years younger than he is, at least.
Of course she is.
Listen to that. Well, let's assume she's 15 years younger. That's still 40. You're not supposed to be having kids when you're 41.
I heard that she was younger than that. I'm not sure.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I don't know why. For some reason, like, early 30s is sticking in my head.
Yeah, I hope so. Because, you know, as soon as you, at least I'll have one parent around that. I don't know. I Likas was talking about that a little bit yesterday, wasn't he? Likas knows something like that. It's just retarded. You know, it's just that they have some kid, especially if you're, I mean, one, if you're a woman, once you're over the age of like 35, I think, you're not supposed to have kids anymore because the risk of birth defects and everything just goes up exponentially. It's like my mom, God love my mom. You know, but my mom was having kids until she was like 40-something. I mean, it's a terrible idea, though. So, I mean, they're both obviously not going to, you know, call me and ask for my advice, but it really is a poor choice, I think.
Well, even the head of NBC Entertainment admits many of his fall shows, quote, just sucked, unquote. Jeff Zucker admits that Coupling was one of those shows. He said no one was happier when he had the decision to cancel Coupling. He said the characters weren't developed enough.
And with that in mind, NBC presents Saving Jessica Lynch. Here is the promo for it.
We've all heard what happened.
We're trapped.
One man. See the real story behind the rescue that gave a nation hope.
The United States soldiers, and we're here to take you home.
I'm an American soldier, too.
When we say we never leave a man behind, it's not just words.
Saving Jessica Lynch, NBC Sunday, 9, 8 Central.
Oh, God. Does that come with some sort of an air sickness bag or something? Does that come with, like, an order of fish sticks and a hungry man dinner? How old is she? 45?
Yeah, well, we...
Letterman's girlfriend is 45?
Sarah just found something in an article that says she's 45.
So he's 56, she's 45.
I thought she was a lot younger.
So by the time the kid gets into high school, she's going to be... She'll be a senior citizen. She'll be retired and drawing her pension by the time the kid gets into high school. Letterman will be dead, undoubtedly. You're not even supposed to get pregnant. You're not supposed to go out of your way to get pregnant once you're past the age of 35. She's almost hitting, she's almost in the menopause ballpark there, I think. So, yeah, that seems like a phenomenally bad idea.
So who knows how this child is going to turn out?
Yeah.
Maybe they can move to Longview or something and nobody will notice.
Well, the kid's already got no grandparents, and he's only 2 decades away from not having any parents either. So, yeah, have fun. Have fun, Harry.
Mel Gibson as Fred McMurray. That's the idea of a sitcom Gibson wants to develop. A Hollywood Reporter says ABC has signed up Gibson to develop a sitcom based on his life as the father of 6 boys. It'll be about a blue-collar single dad raising 5 teenage boys on his own.
Ah, great. I can't wait to watch it.
Britney Spears is going to be on Jimmy Kimmel's birthday party. She'll be the guest on Jimmy Kimmel Live Thursday night when he celebrates his 36th birthday. Clay Aiken also a guest. Spears will also be plugging her album, In the Zone, that comes out November 18th. She stars in an hour-long special on ABC the night before. So that's 17th.
We're all massively excited about that. Hey, did anybody else know that The Matrix Revolutions opens today?
Yes.
I had no idea.
Big bad, yeah.
Where have you been, man? Every commercial on TV has had something to do with The Matrix.
I mean, I know there's commercials for it. I didn't know it opened today. I assumed it opened Friday.
They're following that trend of opening on Wednesday so they can make their first weekend look bigger and everything.
Later on, we got some e-cuts we'll get to about that. But, I'm just detecting no palpable buzz about the new Matrix film. I mean, I'm not saying people won't go see it. It'll probably open huge. It'll probably set some record because they're opening in like 70,000 screens at once or whatever, which is the new way you do it now. But man, I don't feel any street buzz.
Everybody's attitude is kind of like, well, you know, the last one was okay, but I'll go see it to see just how it ends.
Well, that's the thing, is it's sort of a get it over with attitude about the Matrix at this point. So I'm one of those people. I'll completely go see it. I'll go see it. But I just don't think anybody's expecting a whole lot. We got some cuts about The Matrix coming up later on. Also, Jolie from the front desk with How Chicks Think. We got the top 5 and the more your phone calls. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk to 98KFTK. Stay there. We'll be back.
If I wasn't, then why would I say I am? In the paper, the news, every day I am. Radio won't even play my jam, cause I am whatever you say I am. If I wasn't, then why would I say I am? In the paper, the news, every day I am. I don't know, it's just the way I am. Sometimes I just feel like my father. I hate to be bothered with all of this nonsense that's constant. And oh, it's just lyrical content. That's all guilty conscience has gotten such rotten responses.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Hey, Riley with you. Brought to you by Northside Ford, exclusively trucks, at 63rd and Northeast Columbia Boulevard in Portland. Medford voters obviously want a freeway interchange to happen. They overwhelmingly do reject the method that would have blocked the project. And a coalition of immigration, civil rights, and publishing groups have filed legal briefs in support of a lawsuit filed against the U.S. Patriot Act. Their filings support a lawsuit filed by a number of Muslim and Arab groups. A 47-year-old Shady Cove man, lucky to be alive today after being shot in the head and upper body and stabbed several times. Ronald Ragsdale, recovering at Rogue Valley Hospital. 3 decades ago, ducks filled the skies above Upper Klamath Lake. It's a different story now. It's a lake without ducks. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says 1.5 million birds are missing. Mostly clear today, then partly cloudy. Highs 45 to 50. Clear tonight, lows upper 20s. Tim Riley, KOTK News.